no other comments, I'll move on to the next question. Why is it that in a relationship, an ungodly person pulls the godly person down or away, when God is on the latter side, and it should be the other way around? Second question, what would it mean that love is unfailing, i.e., to be enough to bring the first person to the Savior? Why is it that in a relationship, an ungodly person pulls the godly person away when God is on the latter side, and shouldn't it be the other way around? What would it mean that love is unfailing? Is it enough to bring the first person to the Savior, the ungodly person to the Savior?
The verse that comes to my mind is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And of course, the ungodly person is going to be working under the power of nothing other than the flesh and the natural man. So that's what you're working against, is the flesh and the natural man. And you still have the flesh, because we are not in heaven yet, for our eternal body. So we still have to wrestle with the flesh. You know, we fight a spiritual battle, not against flesh and blood, but against something inside of us, and also an enemy, Satan and his those that work for him. But the point is that if you're fighting against someone who is only in the flesh, no matter how hard and how much of God's love and how much gospel you preach to that person, and maybe that person will be saved, you're still playing with fire. It's really what it is. You're playing with fire. Because that person will influence you, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you still have the flesh. So that part of you is weak and will be automatically attracted to those things that are brought forth by the flesh in the other person. Whereas your spirit may be willing, but it will be succumbed by that flesh. Even if it's succumbed once, is that really what we want to say? Is, well, once in a while, I'm going to succumb to the flesh. No. Rather, that we find someone who has a new the new man, the new creation, and has also the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of them.
It's a verse, that 2 Corinthians 6:14.
It's correct.
It's, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? From my understanding, when you yoke two animals together, they have to be of equal strength, or the weaker one will pull the stronger one back because it can't keep up with the stronger one. It's just the same with two people.
I was turning to the same verses because I think there's a question that has to come before the question that was written down. And David asked us this question the other day. Is obedience to the Word of God optional? Now, I've got, as a young person or an older person, to come face to face with that in my life. Does the Lord set before me His principles and give to me, as a believer, the option of either obeying or not obeying? If He does that, then I might be able to go into a question like that and do some debating. But obedience is never a matter of whether I want to or not. And so the first thing that I find the Lord says to me as a child of God is the verse that our brother has quoted, to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And He gives me the reason why. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, what is an infidel? An unbeliever. And He's saying, look, there's something wrong here. The mesh is wrong. The mix is wrong. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He doesn't say, for you should be. He says, you are. The temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, it would be a good idea if you come out from among them? It would be advantageous. Does it say anything like that? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Paul, saith my parents, saith the older brethren. Now, saith the Lord. So the first thing that I want to do is to be obedient to his word. The second thing is that, in practical experience, I don't know if any times I've ever seen it worked the way the question would seem to indicate that it, they think it should work. I find that in experience, it's the believer that is dragged into the dirt.
Well, who is the most failure as far as the kings of Israel are concerned? Who is the king that have failed most? Who? Solomon. Who is the wisest and the richest king that ever sat on the throne of Israel?
Solomon.
He was the biggest failure. Now, the Lord said that if you mix up with unbelievers, they will turn you to their way. Let me give you a verse. It's not that we are saying that. It happened because the Lord said it would happen. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, and I'm just going to read the verses. And no more comments, because reality is this. Kevin said it, Joey said it, and Brother Chuck said it. Don't play with fire. The word of God said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelief. It's just very simple, very plain, and it requires simple obedience. 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, the Ammonite, the Edomite, the Sidonite, the Hittite, and the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. Why? Why? You would say, well, you know, King Solomon is a wise king. He built that great temple. He was also the one that built places for the idols. The one that built the temple of the Lord. So the Lord said that if you mix up with unbelievers, look what the Lord said. For surely, they will turn away your heart after their gods. That's what the Lord is saying. If you mix up with the unbeliever, they will surely pull you down.
Could we answer the second part or make an attempt? Tony, read it, if you would, for us again.
What would it mean, or what does it mean, that love is unfailing? Is it enough to bring that person to the Savior?
Okay. It's infinitely important that the Word of God answers our questions. That it's not just Tony's opinion or David's or mine. And it appears as though then that we would say that I have got into this relationship with an unsaved person, but the love of the Lord would bring that person to himself because he or she has gotten mixed up with me, who am a believer. This is John 14:23. I'm just going to read the first part of the verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. I'm not going to go in. I can't go in. God in his grace might. Who are we to say that the Lord would never work in such a way? What we can say is the Lord says to you and I, again from the Epistle of John, hereby we do know that we know him. I say, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I can't deal with what the Lord might be able to do in an abstract way. I have to deal with what the Lord has told me He will do and what He expects me to do as far as His written, revealed mind is concerned in Scripture. And so He may be able to do to save that person. I'm not saying that He would or wouldn't. It's not for me to answer the question in that way, but it is to set before us, not just as young people, but as young and old here, that my first prerequisite, if I love Him, is to keep His word.